Lori, we are back for another episode of the Travel Vertical Podcast. How was your Labor Day?
Oh, it was really lovely. Thank you, Adam. I was in, Central Vermont for a wedding. And then I was in Cape Cod.
Okay. And so a wedding in Central Vermont. Who got married?
Yeah, my nephew. And then met up with the family, including the London contingent, for a time in a nice place in East Sandwich. How do you like that name of that town? In Cape Cod.
Well, you know, what I always do is when I make lunch for my daughter, I always name one East Sandwich and one West Sandwich when I cut it in half and hand it to her. So,
yeah, I got to tell you, there is no West Sandwich. There's an East Sandwich and there's a sandwich. So no West.
Okay. Well, I've been doing it all wrong. I gotta correct that. Well, Lori, I'm excited to dive in today. It's funny you said you're in Cape Cod. This is a completely random fact, and you know, sometimes you regret having me as a co-host for these random facts, but I have been seeing lots of videos recently about there's a lot of great white sharks off the coast of Cape Cod, and there's been a lot of sightings right now, so I'm hoping you didn't get in the water.
No, I swam in the pool, and I swam in the lake, and they are known for no sightings of sharks. So we were good. Thank you.
I like it. Okay, good stuff. Well, I was really excited when you sent me some of the prep materials that you wanted to talk about today. And Lori, I was blown away. And I think it's very topical for us to discuss right now. You sent me some pictures of you from, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, of you and the Queen.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago, Adam. You're right. I used to work for the mayor of Boston, and I worked for the Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau in the year that it was founded. But anyway, it all has to do with the bicentennial celebration in 1976. So yes, I'm dating myself. But the Queen of England came over for that. She wasn't the only royal who did. We had also visits from the King of Spain and the Queen of Denmark and so on. But the big deal was Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip came over for an extended time. They went to Washington, D.C., New York City, Philadelphia, Boston, and then up to Montreal to open the 1976 Olympics. And so I was involved with the protocol.
So what was that like, Lori, having the Queen of England and all this other royalty come through? And since she passed, unfortunately, this last week, I'd love to hear maybe if there's a memory of an interaction with her. What was she like in her communication with you and your team?
Relaxed. I remember it was a very hot day, July of 1976 in Boston. And I do remember very well about going on board the Royal Britannia and having a gin and tonic served with no ice and getting a little bit loaded there. And I remember standing next to Prince Philip. And most of the funniest stories that I have from that time do relate to the prince. The queen was herself and, you know, very kind and gracious and what you'd expect, and skinny. Oh, my gosh. You can see in the pictures. But the prince was Randy. And if you're not up to date with sort of British slang.
See, I thought his name was Philip.
Yeah, Randy. You know what Randy means? I mean, it's flirty, and he's known for having been that. But back then, he was in his mid-50s. He was pretty Randy and said some rather provocative things, not just me.
Things you probably couldn't say today. Is that a fair statement?
No, I could, and they'd all be true. But, I mean, like, there was one. I'll just give you one example. When we had a private gift exchange ceremony in the mayor's office in Boston City Hall. And on the occasion, a group of gentlemen called the Ancient and Honorable Artillery Society had permission to present the Queen with a gift on the occasion of the bicentennial. Apparently, they had gifted her previously on a visit to London. Anyway, they were allowed to give this gift, and they chose to give a silver tea service. And Prince Philip turned to his wife and said, "Just what we need, lovey, another silver tea service." So, you know, they have a sense of humor between
them.
Oh,
that's funny. Well, I know that the reason you brought that up was not just to name drop and let everybody know that you met the Queen. That's not the purpose. You actually found a really interesting story in the destination world that ties to the Queen. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about this situation that Visit Orlando was dealing with.
Well, you know, I'm quite unprepared for the answer, but I'm going to be okay at posing the question here, because in the Travel Vertical recently, I wrote about Visit Orlando, which was poised to make their biggest spend ever in the UK. And okay, well, that's really interesting because, you know, they're putting a lot of money on the line that the UK is going to come back to Florida in large numbers at a time when, you know, we've got par. I mean, sterling is seriously down. You know, when it's at par with the US dollar, that is not good buying power for them, which is why you see a lot of Americans eager to go right now in the other direction, outbound. But anyway, so they were going to make this, or they did make this commitment for the largest out-of-home media schedule. And like, what do you do, you know, when you're meant to be taking over advertising on black cabs all over London, and in 12 or 15 cities, you're going to be putting up giant billboards in the train stations and in the tube in London and on every bus stop shelter, and wrapping, you know, Routemaster buses with Visit Orlando information, but the Queen dies. Every major billboard, every major Piccadilly Circus, the massive board that they had committed to for Visit Orlando, is filled with a big picture of the Queen. I mean, in memoriam, I've seen it. And the same with every bus stop shelter and every tube stop. So what happens to your media spend?
I think you're posing a really interesting question. And I think to kind of maybe back it up for all of our listeners, things like the Queen dying don't necessarily happen every day, right? But there are circumstances that can change in an instant when you're planning a campaign. And I think the question is, how nimble and creative can you be when something like that happens? For example, this experience where Visit Orlando is planning their largest billboard campaign ever in the UK, and the Queen passes away, how do you either, you know, change course or adjust your messaging in such a way that it's not tone deaf? Because the risk that you run is to have your campaign be completely tone deaf, just like, and we all learned this when COVID hit, for us to run a Visit Now campaign during the however many weeks to stop the spread that we had at the beginning of the pandemic, completely tone deaf. And it's the risk you run when circumstances change and you don't adjust your messaging accordingly.
Yeah, you're right. So it's a two-part question. And as I say, I don't have the answer. I'm going to try to find out the answer from Visit Orlando. But it's a two-part question in that, number one, what happens to your money, you know? And number two, the juxtaposition. And, you know, how do you do, even if it were to go forward, if someone said, oh, it's okay, you know, that wraparound you were going to do in Waterloo Station can go forward. We just can't do the Piccadilly Circus billboard. But I mean, you know, then, but what about the messaging itself? Are you going to be able to talk about theme parks at a time like that?
Lori, that's the value of creativity, though. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that while we're talking about this, I can come up with the solution to this problem. But the reality is these circumstances that we're talking about change every day. And I can tell you this, there is a solution. And it'll be really interesting. I'd love to get Orlando on as a guest to maybe talk to them about what this experience was like and what did they actually do. You posed the question, what do you do when you plan this buy and the Queen dies? I would love for Visit Orlando to come answer that question on our show. And I guarantee you, just knowing what they've done in the past, that there was a creative solution implemented here.
For sure. I only thought of the question this morning, Adam. So we'll follow up with the invitation. Absolutely. Consider it out there.
Okay, there's our cliffhanger for the day. Lori, I like it.
Very good.
Well, other than what's happening in Visit Orlando, there's a lot going on in our industry. And there's actually some destinations doing some really interesting and creative things. I know you wanted to highlight a few of them. Do you mind sharing with us a couple of the things that you're seeing out there in the industry right now?
Oh, with pleasure. There's a lot of interest in these roundups we've been publishing in the Travel Vertical, where we talk about cool things that DMOs are doing. Arizona Tourism is partnering with Bandwango on a, and everybody knows Bandwango and the trails that they do. Those are fun, you know, ale trails, pizza trails, and you name it trails, but Rock the Root is a quirky landmark trail. So did you know that the longest strip of Route 66 runs through North Arizona?
I actually had no idea.
I didn't either. I mean, I think of it as being in the sort of, you know, Illinois up there parts, but shows what I know. So anyway, Route 66 goes through northern Arizona, and they've got a quirky landmark trail. So people download it and, you know, follow it and see quirky landmarks. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, I like that. And really, I think Bandwango, and you know, I'm obviously friends with Mo, the founder of Bandwango, but some of the things that they're doing to help destinations measure and maximize the opportunity for economic impact when people come to a destination, I just like that. And I think this Rock the Root idea is a really creative use of Bandwango as a product.
Yes, it's fun. And of course, everybody, I'm sure, understands that one of the benefits is not only getting people engaged with your, you know, pizza and ale and Rock the Root concepts, but beyond that, the data that's being collected by the DMO for first party as people log on and engage with it.
Super interesting. Okay. So Route 66, we learned something today that the largest portion of that goes through Arizona, and I've driven on part of it, but had no idea it was the longest part.
Yeah. So more about that in the travel vertical, of course, and there are always links to for people who want to see more about these campaigns. Out in Myrtle Beach, another cool idea, they're doing Chef Swap at the beach. So it's a competition. They've got six series lined up and six local chefs doing fun things with local ingredients and on a competition which then is aired on the Cooking Channel.
Yeah, this one's cool, and I've been excited for this one. Stuart at Butler at Myrtle Beach, you know, we work with him on a few different things in the podcast realm. So I've known that this is coming for a little while, and it's fun to see it finally released publicly. I love the idea of what they're doing. They're really, and I'm sure Stuart would be fine with me sharing that, this. They're looking at their DMO as a media company, as opposed to just as a destination marketing organization. And they are coming up with multiple documentaries, podcasts, entertainment shows, like the, and creating just an incredible amount of content. And you're starting to see work that's been happening over the last couple of years finally get released and start to pay off. I think they've got a brilliant team at Myrtle Beach. And this idea of Chef Swap at the beach is really fun.
I love it. You know, everybody likes beaches and everybody likes cooking. So we're good. There are cool tools, and we like to highlight those. I found a cool tool that lives on the Sonoma County Tourism website out in California. They've got a calculate your travel carbon footprint tool.
Yeah, Lori, I think this one is fascinating, and I'm really curious about how they're calculating this. So I'm going to ask you some follow-up questions. But Todd O'Leary and his team over there do an incredible job. We had him on before on this show with the Sounds of Sonoma, and here they are with another really innovative idea. How are they helping visitors calculate their carbon footprint?
I'm not going to tell you, Adam, because I think they want people to go and have a look. But I think also for other DMOs to have a look. It'll be interesting for other destination marketing organizations to go and have a look at the website for Sonoma County Tourism and look at this cool tool for carbon footprints related to travel. We also recently published in July, at the end of July, we published an interview with the CEO at Sonoma County Tourism, Claudia Vecchio. And she talks about going from a DMO to a DSO. Now, we've all heard about DMMO, you know, so that the marketing and the management get an emphasis within the title of the organization. But they're doing something different in Sonoma County, and it has to do with DSO, the S standing for stewardship.
I like that, the Destination Stewardship Organization. And does that, so that kind of plays into then this idea of helping visitors understand their carbon footprint in the destination so that they can really be good stewards of the destination and inform visitors. Is that the idea? Inform visitors of just what their impact is going to be?
Yes. There's quite a lot to it, actually. And Claudia has been leading in this space among DMOs. And in this article, the interview that we published in July 26, you'll also see that she has a new staff position, a manager of sustainability and climate initiative within the community engagement team. So focusing on initiatives within that sector. And so that's interesting as well, what Devin McConnell is doing now in Sonoma. And we're going to be talking more about this on an upcoming podcast. We'll be talking more with Bill Geist in the next podcast about roles that have changed and new positions that are being offered to specialists within the DMO world. And this is one of them.
Great. I'm really looking forward to that, Lori, that conversation. And I also am really impressed with the consistent innovation that's coming out of Sonoma County. You know, Lori, there's a lot of interesting stuff out there, and I think we just scratched the surface. I think it's really important to remind our listeners, if you want the full story, or for example, where Lori was a little cagey with me on how exactly Visit Sonoma is calculating the carbon footprint of the visitors, this is where you want to go read the full story at thetravelvertical.com. And Lori, are they going to be able to see pictures of you with the Queen as well?
Nope. I don't think so.
Oh, what a bummer.
I think maybe my daughter put it on my Twitter. I don't know. But it's, it's a little bit, I don't know. I'm quite sad. And it didn't seem like the right time to talk about me, but maybe later.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll stay tuned for that. And I totally understand that, Lori. What an interesting week of stuff. And we haven't even gotten to jobs and people on the move. Let's briefly go through maybe that portion of the show.
Yes, we can. Jobs just continue to come at us, and people on the move is something we always cover. So I get so many emails still, Adam, from people saying, what can we do to get listed in the jobs? We've got one. And, you know, somewhere they're finding my email address, which is great. But, you know, I guess I'm not clear that it's free. And so just, you know, send it along. Also, that we're not going to print the whole job description, I'm afraid, and even a link, because links expire like mad, and then the whole site would just be filled with dead links. But we'll certainly put the title and a little bit of information. There's a job, for example, as the deputy commissioner in Tennessee travel right now, but it's closing in 2 days. So we'll flag that closing date for people. But if I found it, you can find it. And we love to help. We love to publish it. It's just for sharing.
Yeah. And Lori, what a service that you provide to the industry in curating all these different jobs that are out there. And I totally understand why you don't post the link. And like you said, if you can find it, anybody can find it. And that's not to say that you're not a great Google searcher, but I'd say that everybody at this point has probably learned the basics of searching for some of those roles.
Yeah, you know what, the disappointing thing about it, Adam, is how difficult it can be on some of the websites of the DMOs to find their career page and their job openings. And so, because if I find it on LinkedIn, I try to go to the site and ensure that it's still current and hasn't been filled. And of course, if it has been filled, that's great. We'll publish that news as well. But yeah, there's something about, you know, the site map there where it sometimes is missing current openings and jobs and opportunities and careers. And I look under all those search words and still can't find it. I'm going to give up.
Well, I think that's a good piece of advice for destinations that might be listening. Make sure your careers page is easy to find and accessible. Lori, anything else you want to talk about today?
Well, there's just one more thing I wanted to say. You know, there's been a lot of talk about NFTs. There's been a lot of talk about the metaverse. And so these, you know, ephemeral things that are out there that are attracting big money and, you know, how much one understands about NFTs in the metaverse is another question indeed. However, I just wanted to point out that the good old stuff, you know, hard stuff, the stuff you can hold in your hand, is still extra valuable because just last week, guess what? They sold a Mickey Mantle baseball card, 1952, mint plus condition. And what do you think it fetched?
Well, the problem is I read the show notes, so I know. So I'm going to let you unveil it, Lori.
Well, I asked a friend and they guessed $1 million, which is a heck of a lot of money for a piece of paper. But the actual answer is $12.6 million. And so, hey, it's got nothing to do with tourism. But my takeaway from that is that, you know, NFTs in the metaverse are maybe cool and maybe they are see tomorrow. But as far as it goes with seeing yesterday, there's still a lot of value in things that we can hold and touch.
Yeah, I want to know how many of our listeners like me are sitting here going, why did I ever give away my baseball card collection?
Yeah. You know, and my Beatle albums and all of that stuff.
Oh, but it's a fascinating thing because I've been listening to a couple of different podcasts. I won't necessarily name drop them here, but they're business leaders who are talking about the NFT market and really kind of the downward trajectory over the last several months. And it's something that I want to keep an eye on because just to hear that this tangible item, the Mickey Mantle baseball card, sold for so much money, and then we see this downward trajectory of some of these digital assets, one of the questions that's going to be answered, I think, over the next couple of years is how much is it a trend and how much was it a fad? And that's stuff that we're just going to have to monitor, and destinations that are trying to get into the NFT space, which I know there's a lot of destinations that were kind of dabbling there. Keep an eye on this story because I'm not sure, and nor am I going to make a prediction on where it's going, but it's something that we'll want to monitor very closely. Well, great, Lori. What an interesting week of information, and I appreciate you pulling it all together. I want to remind our listeners that if you want to get access to the full story, make sure you go to thetravelvertical.com. Lori, thanks so much for all you do every week to keep everybody informed of what's happening in our industry.
Well, send us your scoops, you know? And keep reading. Thank you ever so much.
Awesome. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Please don't forget to leave us a rating or a review. It helps us to continue to grow the show, bring on great guests, and, of course, continue to have Lori bring us the news. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.